Welcome to North Coast Conversation, a public service presentation of AM 930 and 100.3 FM WEOL. I'm your host, Bruce Van Dyke. On today's North Coast Conversation, Skunk Fest 2024. We'll talk with Deb Cipriani, organizer of the event taking place in North Vigil coming up on Saturday the 14th. And Charles Benke, our favorite horticulturalist, gives us advice on battling yellow jackets and poison ivy. And now, this week's North Coast Conversation. Skunk Fest 2024 is coming up September 14th from 10 to 4 over at South Central Park in North Ridgeville. And joining us from Skunk Haven is Deb Cipriani, the organizer, coordinator for this event that's been going on for quite a number of years. Good morning, Deb. How are you today?
Good morning. Fantastic. Ready for a Skunky Fest 2024 at South Central Park. It's going to be awesome this year. We're going to have, of course, king and queen, prince and princess of the skunks. We have people coming from all over the United States bringing their pet skunks for competition, like a cat or dog show. It's one of a kind of event. You get to see all different colors. You get to see lavender color skunks, gray, brown, white, albino, all different colors, something you don't see in a while. These are all pet skunks, not wild skunks. They do not have their scent sacs. We're also having some vendors coming up from Florida this year, and they produce a game called Skunked. And now it's in 39 states, 8 countries, and it's from kids from 8 to 80. And they will have their game for sale at the Skunk Fest, and they will also sign the game as well. So that's pretty awesome having these people coming up all the way from Florida with their new game, Skunked. And, of course, the main character is a skunk. It's a dice game.
And I should mention, Skunked, S-K-U-N-K-D, .games is where people can also go and find out information about that as well. It's kind of a fun thing, a theme for skunk. I suppose, as somebody who has skunks, do you have sort of, other than the live skunks, do people give you skunk things, black and white things, pictures of skunks, maybe little tchotchke things?
Stuffed animals, oh yes, watches, stuffed animals, anything that's skunk related, we get it. We also take in donations as well so we can put it in our auctions to raise money for Skunk Haven. Because it's kind of costly paying for, you know, vet bills and everything for their skunks that when people give them up, a lot of times they may not neuter or spay them, and we get them neutered and spayed, and it's costly. But, yes, we get skunk things all the time, and we'll take anything.
Right. Talk a little bit more about Skunk Haven. I guess, as you mentioned, it's to help those skunks that have lost their homes in a sense, right?
Yes, yeah, Skunk Haven was founded by me because people started giving up their skunks. They didn't want them anymore, and we would take them, and we have federal permits because you have to have a federal USDA permit to run this type of a rescue, and we also have state permits as well. So you have to maintain all these permits, plus we're 501(c). And what we do is take in the pet skunks and we either adopt them out or we keep them. Depends on what's wrong with them. We are a no-kill facility. We do not put down the pet skunks. And a lot of them come in with issues. And some, you know, sometimes family members die and the people don't want their, you know, family members' pet skunk. And then they come here. So we do quite a bit with the pet skunk world. And we also counsel people throughout the United States for their pet skunks because we've also set standards for vets for blood normals and temperature change. Vets thought it was 102, and it's actually 95, 96. So I paid for all those studies to be done early on with my vet.
So the more that you cared for them, the more you understood them, and the more insight we got actually into really how best to care for these domesticated skunks. When did you get started in this? How did you get your first skunk? What was that all about?
Back in the 80s, I was camping in Colorado, and I heard pitter-patter, and I thought it was a bunch of rats. I jumped out of the tent because everybody else was gone. They were out sightseeing at nighttime somewhere. And it was a bunch of skunks. I sat on the picnic table and talked to them. Fast forward to 89, I came out to Ohio because of my job. There was skunks in a pet store, and then my mom died the year 2000, and I bought my first skunk to fill the void from a pet store, and she got deathfully sick, and that's when I known there was not much documented by a veterinarian to care for skunks. And because of my first skunk, Daisy, she started it all. Mm. I didn't want people to feel like I did all those years ago, helpless.
It's almost about the time Skunk Fest then came into existence too, right, I guess?
Skunk Fest came in a year after I started, yes. And I was gathering for skunk lovers in my backyard. That's how it started. And then it just grew and grew and grew after that. And then one time the mayor came out in 2009 and invited us to the park. So we've been to the park ever since.
Again, that's South Central Park, right on Avon Belden Road, 83 in North Ridgeville. You'll be there from 10 a.m. until 4 p.m. And lots of things going on throughout that. Talk a little bit about sort of this judging contest, like, or things that are going on with that. How does that work for the most part?
They will look at the skunk and judge overall conformation. They look at the weight, the color, to make sure it's vibrant because it should be white. The white should be white and not off color. They look at the pose of the skunk and the demeanor of the skunk, and they judge all of that, the tail, if it's nice and puffy. So it's heavy-duty competition with scoring, and then everything gets put in the computer, and then we come up with first, second, third, fourth. You know, king and queen, prince and princess, those are the top ones. Prince and princess, it's from skunks up to a year old. Anything over a year old is king and queen in that category. We also have a picture with a skunk. Offer that at Skunk Fest for a fee, and all the money goes towards Skunk Haven, and we print it out right there, so it's a cute souvenir. And you could also pet the back of a skunk for $1. We also have that, and so that way people can see the different, you know, feel the different fur, because it's just like human hair. We're all different.
So not all skunks are the same. And does the color impact at all, how the texture of the fur at all?
No, the color does not. It does not. But a little bit about the Skunk Fest. This is the most biggest vendor menu we've had. We have about 49 vendors coming in. We have about 49 vendors coming in. So of all selling all different types of things. So you'll be able to get skunk items. You'll be able to get the game, the skunked game, and have that autographed as well. And jewelry and ceramics and soap and honey and just a wide variety of things are coming in this year. It really took off.
Hmm. And I know you also sometimes have different rescue groups there. Is that the case as well this year too?
We will have Ferret Unlimited. They will be here. I'm not sure who else. Oh,
do ferrets get along with skunks? Do we know this, or how?
It all depends on the animal, just like people.
Okay.
Some get along and some don't. I do have a ferret, mine don't exactly get along. But some people do and some people don't. So she'll have ferrets there as well, so people can see the ferrets, and they will be selling items. The Skunks Berry Inn, they're coming in. They do a wildlife rescue in South Carolina. So they're coming in from South Carolina. So we'll have a wide variety of things to do, animals to see, and just a fun event and something different.
Yeah, it all benefits Skunk Haven, skunkhaven.net, if you want to find out more information about things that Deb is always up to and what they do. And I know in the past, Skunk's been in the movies. You were on that Puppy Bowl thing. Any other exciting things happened recently?
Yes. Anybody who's watching the Ford Ranger commercial now, if you see it advertised and you see...
Oh, the guy's going out camping and his wife sends him, he hears something outside, right?
Yes.
And he goes, yes, I see.
Yes, that is my skunk. His name is Petro. He's now a movie star. And we went to the filming. We did that in the Metro Parks in North Olmsted. And so that was my skunk, Petro. He is a rescue, and he came in really bad condition, but he is perfect now. So, yes, he was chosen. So anybody watching that commercial, that's our skunk from Skunk Haven.
Now, are you out there when the shoot happens? Tell us a little behind the scenes. How does that all work out? Do they just anything they can share with us about that?
Well, let's just say we were there firsthand. Yes, we got a few pictures here and there, and we got to watch them filming everything on set, which was really cool to watch them filming and how everything. And I've got my picture taken with Chris, the movie star there, so we've met him personally, and it was fun. It was fun to watch. They're awesome people. They were so nice. And it was fun watching them behind the scenes.
Do you end up, like, do you have an agent? How do they know that you're the place to go to get the skunks or whatever to use that? How does that work out?
They must have Googled and found us on the internet, and they approached us. And we have a federal permit, because you got to have a federal permit to do these skunks. And we have all the proper permits and everything to do, take our skunks so they can be on TV.
So did they have a casting call for your skunks, or how did you decide Petro was the one to do this?
We try different skunks on the set.
I see.
And Petro was the one that performed the best.
Gave us the most skunk look to that, I guess.
Yes, he was the most. He performed the way they wanted him to.
Excellent. Wow, that's kind of neat how that happens all the time. And when you have these skunks, tell us, I guess, if somebody was interested. Because there's always people that may, I mean, the fact that you have Skunk Haven going on and the Skunk Fest, there's people always interested in maybe adopting a skunk, having a skunk as a pet. Tell me a little bit about a life with a skunk, and how long do you expect to have them? What's their lifespan, that type of thing?
Their lifespan runs anywhere from 6 to 10 years. Some live longer. And it all depends on the way you care for them. Their diet, just like people, and some are nice, some are not. Some go in litter boxes, some don't. Don't expect a skunk to do what you want. The skunk has to train you the way he wants. So, and they can go on our website and fill out the application, but you got to be very, you know, you also have to have a permit in the state of Ohio. You cannot take a skunk out of the wild. It's illegal. And you have to prove where you got your skunk from in the state of Ohio, and you have to get a permit from the Ohio Wildlife.
Hmm. So there's a lot.
A lot involved, and a lot of times they have cardiomyopathy, bone issues. Again, it's due back to diet, and you really, really have to maintain, and it's not an easy pet to take care of.
What kind of diet do they go? I know most of the time I think of skunks and they're eating bugs and insects for the most part.
Right, right. We do a higher protein. We do fresh vegetables, frozen vegetables. We do high-grade dog food. We also supplement for taurine and for calcium. Those are the two biggest things that help the heart and the bones. So we also give them cheese or chicken and treats and just like us, something different.
Mm-hmm. And you only make them wear costumes during Skunk Fest, right? I would assume.
Yes, but sometimes when we're doing educational, because we do educational, we do dress them up on site as well. It all depends where we're at. But yet, Skunk Fest, we got the skunk costume contest. And people are going to dress up their skunks, so it would be something different seeing skunks dress up. And then we have Best Detective to see which skunk is going to hit the bag with the food in it the fastest. It's a time event. And
now the skunk run, is that like a little race for them? Or
it's more, yeah, it's a timed,
time
yeah.
To, okay.
Yes, it is a time thing.
And what is most talented? What's the talent of a skunk that we may not know about?
Sometimes people have them dance. Sometimes people have them, they make a fake, like, little mountain and climb up a mountain. Or they try to make them do circles, you know, some kind of activity.
Other than their tapping of their feet, do they make much noise? What is their noise?
Oh, my God.
Oh.
It's a high-pitched squeal like a pig.
Oh, my.
If you ever hear a skunk screaming, it's something that you've never heard before. It's a high-pitched squeal.
Now, are they only because they're in danger, or is there happy squeals? I mean,
the happy squeals is they may just do lip smacks and, you know, do something like that. Okay. But if, like at Skunk Haven, if a skunk doesn't like the next skunk, it may start screaming because it stands next to them.
I got it. Now, we mostly think skunks coming out at night. So are they nocturnal, or do we just sort of only see them at that? How is it that worked with you, a human living one life cycle in a skunk?
The skunks adapt to our lifestyle, the domestic skunks. But as far as the wild ones, they come out in the morning and they come out at evening. I think it's called Caspire, something like that.
Okay.
But they are not up all night either.
All right.
Like people think.
Well, they're always up when people take their dogs out. That's how we always think at night, right? That's what always happens for that, too, as well. Well, Skunk Fest 2024 is coming up again September 14th. That's Saturday from 10 to 4 over at South Central Park in North Ridgeville. Free event, right?
I mean, yes, they're free. If people want to donate paper towels to come in, that's fine. We always take donations, but yes, it's free. We want people to get educated on pet skunks, that they're not the smelly little creatures that they think they are. See them up close and personal, and it's a fun event, something that you don't see normally around.
Not often do you see a lavender skunk, right? That's
correct.
Absolutely. Well, Deb, we appreciate your time this morning. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. Have a fantastic day.
Thanks.
See you at Skunk Fest.
Charles Behnke, our favorite horticulturalist, gives us advice on battling yellow jackets and poison ivy.
The nests are starting to grow up. People will soon start finding them, with their lawnmower when they hit that, usually an area along, like maybe by a railroad tie for their landscaping, or if they're running into a bald-faced hornet's nest. Sometimes those are low in the bushes, and all of a sudden you're standing there and there's you hear something buzzing, and you better just kind of quietly step back. Don't yell, don't scream, don't do it. Just move away. Right. And do not treat the nest during the daylight hours, because they will come after you. If you want to treat, one, you can call an exterminator, and they're properly dressed to do this. Two, you can treat. And most of the spray, wasp and hornet sprays, will work, but do it at night and make it a two-person job, because somebody's going to have to hold the flashlight to see where that opening of the nest is, especially if it's a nest that's out and open that you can hit with that pressurized spray can. Follow the directions so you don't take the paint off the wall. And don't do the dumb thing of putting gasoline on it. That's a great way to set things on fire. Don't do that. I've heard people saying, oh, I got to do that. If there is a nest in the ground, and there are a number of yellow jackets that build nests in the ground, you'll see where they're going in. Again, just mark the area with a stick or something so you can find it at night. Come back and use the product 7. 7 being a product called Carbaryl or Permethrin. There's two different insecticides in these named products nowadays. But treat the opening hole in the ground at night. This would be after like 9 o'clock now at night, or very early in the morning when it's cool. Just dust around the edge, and they'll pick up enough, and the nest will be dead within the day.
So evening or night is because I always thought it's because that's when they're all at home, right?
That's when they're all at home, and they're also less likely.
Okay, right.
They can't see.
The other ones are coming and going, and they get some of them, plus they're very active. So
there's only one hornet that can see at night, and it's called the European hornet. That can see. I mean, it's a big thing, about as big as those cicada killers.
Where is it located?
They build in nests.
No,
in
I mean,
trees.
Like, what is it in the United States?
So it's up along the lake here.
Oh,
quite
wow,
common.
It's here. Okay.
Yes, it's quite. You'll see them once in a while. They're really large. They're about an inch and a half long. They have a 3/4-inch size stinger on them,
and they
will
see at night.
And they fly at night. So sometimes you hear something knocking on your window.
Oh yes,
it's a European hornet knocking on your window.
Okay. Good idea maybe to start a clock. And I've been fixing some of my screens, by the way. So that's
good.
Another thing to keep out those insects that come knocking at some time. I was going in my yard the other day, and I thought I might have come across some poison ivy.
Oh, yes.
That's out there. This is a good time to treat?
Yes, we're coming into a very good time right now, because if you think about it, plants are going to start getting ready for winter. Not that far away, folks. Time to get my Christmas presents already. Get them wrapped. I In fact, I bought a couple already. But it's a great time to note that you have poison ivy. Remember, it has three leaflets, usually crawling along the ground, although it can be climbing up in a tree or a shrub.
Does it have a reddish?
It'll be starting with a little bit of a reddish
stem
on it. Even the leaves, as we get more into late September, the leaves will turn reddish-orange in many cases. It can be confused with the Engelmann Virginia creeper, which has five leaves on it. Remember, poison ivy, and sometimes they grow together, and you can't always tell the difference, so take them both off. They don't need to be there anyway. But there are herbicides that are labeled typically for brush control, and they'll say poison ivy specifically on the label. It has been formulated a little bit differently than what is used on turf, and will take out poison ivy. But now is an excellent time to be treating poison ivy because you'll get better uptake of the chemical and it will go down into the root system of the plant and kill the whole plant. Remember, even after it's dead, it is still poisonous. So don't go burning it. If you have to rake it up, make sure you got, and try to get it pulled out. It'll come on attached better by springtime when it rots a little better, even by next year. Make sure you're wearing long sleeve shirt, gloves when you're handling anything that might have a vine.
Put it in the garbage as well.
In garbage the garbage, bags, and just get rid of it. Okay.
All right. What am I doing with my lawn over the next?
Oh, now's the excellent time for lawn. If you're going to spend any money on your lawn, one, for seeding the lawn, here from mid-August to really about the 10th of October is an excellent time to reseed a lawn or put in a new lawn. And so you can go all the preparation for getting the lawn ready. But now is also a good time. The Labor Day, I always like to pick that day, but it can be any day here. Days here at the end of August, early September, would be your first good feeding of the lawn using any brand of fertilizer you want, as long as it's lawn fertilizer. Put that on now, and then treat again in around Halloween with the second application. This will grow good, sturdy roots on your lawn plant, and you won't get this big burst of growth that you have to mow. Also, if you want to do a weed and feed, the early September weed and feed, especially if we've had a little bit of rain, right now, this week, growth has restarted again. But if we go into a dry spell, don't apply it. Kind of wait till we've had a little moisture, you see some lawn growth, and you can see that something is growing, then apply it. But try to get that done in September to use a weed and feed to get the best control of your broadleaf weeds in the lawn.
What about doing any dethatching or aerating or those types of
yes,
things?
Yes, that's another good thing to do. If you want to do the dethatching or core aeration, I'd say later September will be a better time to do it. Right now, you will open up the lawn a little bit to crabgrass invasion, and I don't think you want that, so I'd wait till late September, maybe mid-October, to do either dethatching or core aeration of the lawn.
All right. Well, we've got a lot of things on our to-do list, but we could also enjoy some time at the Lorain County Fair this upcoming week. Are you going to be out there at all? Do you know?
I don't know if I'll be out there.
Okay, all right.
If I am, I go on senior
day. WEOL will be out there with the Chronicle, Telegram, and our buddies over at K96 with our booth as well. So I'll be spending some time out there and taking a look
at all. What time of the day will you be out there?
Whatever, sometime of the day. We're not making an appointment right now. Sometime like that.
Well, we want to know what time you're going to be there.
Sometime during the day. I don't know. It depends on how my day goes. You know how that is, right?
Yes.
Appreciate you coming. If people want to get good out of the gardening advice, where's always a good place for them to maybe
The ohioline.osu.edu is a good site. And then there's another site called bygl.osu.edu. And there'll be a weekly newsletter that comes out of that site, bygl.osu.edu.
All right. Sounds good. Charles Benke, our favorite Lorain County horticulturalist, joining us here, giving us some good gardening and advice. Thanks for listening to North Coast Conversation. Remember, previous episodes can be heard at WEOL.com. Look on the on-air link and then find North Coast Conversation. I'm your host, Bruce Van Dyke. Thanks for listening, and join us next week for North Coast Conversation on AM 930 and 100.3 FM WEOL.